This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. School is back in session, but for many kids, they still have to learn at home. And while fathers are stepping up, it's typically the mothers who are left to deal with the added burden of monitoring virtual learning. A recent study from Boston Consulting Group surveyed working parents in five different countries, and it finds that since the start of the pandemic, women have spent an average of 15 hours more than men on domestic labor each week. That's on top of the hours put into their jobs. We heard from some of you about how the pandemic has impacted your life at home and work.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I live in Salt Lake City, Utah.
My name's Jennifer. I'm calling from Austin.
This is Jessica from Asheville, North Carolina.
I am working from home and also supervising my children who are doing school from home, and I frequently have to take breaks during my day and help them.
I decided to take my kids back to preschool. It was probably one of the hardest decisions I had to make.
I've actually been fortunate enough to keep working this whole time. I do have a child in daycare, but it breaks my heart to see all the mothers and dads who are having to choose.
As the world struggles with COVID-19, some women fear it's pushing them back into traditional roles and further behind in the careers they've spent years building. Here's 1A's national correspondent, Sasha Ann Simons, who spoke to some mothers about how they're juggling work and family.
The pandemic is a setback for women. That's how moms like Lindsay Jones-Renaud are feeling. Lindsay is self-employed in Washington, D.C. She's a strategic planner who works mainly with nonprofit organizations. But these days, instead of booking contracts and filling spreadsheets, the mother of two is monitoring virtual kindergarten classes and helping her second grader with a bean sprouting project.
Why do we need to wear the seeds?
Oh, so that they can sprout.
So they can sprout. The warmth, like being of the warmth of my body will help it sprout. Is that
right?
Oh, wow.
Lindsay had a handful of clients last year, which kept her busy with several assignments. The pandemic has forced her to scale down to just one client, and she's already feeling the pinch.
My total income was $78,000. This year, I've barely cracked $30,000. I did get a PPP loan. I did apply for a PPP loan. So that has made me feel a lot more comfortable about not doing paid work right now. Like, that's given us a cushion.
Back in the spring when the crisis first hit, Lindsay and her husband Matt both split their time working and caring for their daughters. They had a system, 4 hours on, 4 hours off, and switch.
And he was really, really busy at work. So we still split time, 50-50, taking care of the kids, and then he'd stay up to like 1 a.m. to try and catch up on his work.
The couple knew early on that routine wasn't sustainable, and Matt's health insurance plan was the deciding factor of who got to keep working full time. But as COVID-19 continues to wreak havoc worldwide, Lindsay fears the worst for the future of her career.
So I'm trying to view it as like in a positive way, but it's hard because I see some of these emails coming into my inbox about some of these opportunities, whether it's like job opportunities, like business opportunities I could pursue, or just like networking opportunities. And I'm just like, delete. I just don't have the space in my brain or the physical time to do it. Because the thing is that I do a lot of trainings and facilitation. I did a lot of that in person. I had started last year, I'd done a little bit of combo in person, virtual. Like this is a huge opportunity right now for me to market those skills and build up those skills. I just can't.
Matt Krentz of Boston Consulting Group, a management consulting firm, has heard this sentiment a lot. He's been talking with working parents since March and says while overall responsibilities at home are being shared, much of it falls on the women.
Well, I do think one of the things that is in our new world is you see a greater balance of that. But at the same time, what we still also see when we do qualitative work and interviews is what we call the mental load. Often the mental load of who orchestrates and assigns what needs to be done, or if the emergency comes up, who juggles that, it still disproportionately falls on the mother.
Matt's team surveyed parents in the UK, France, Germany, Italy, and here in America. They found that mothers are stressed, and nearly half of the respondents say their performance at work has decreased since the pandemic. It's a trend, Matt says, has sparked some companies to take action.
Maybe reduce work hours So doing and taking things like the Friday early departure times, and or many companies enabled programs where in the past they maybe hadn't let certain functions or roles work in a flex capacity, and they allowed and put in programs to allow people to go part-time and still keep their jobs. And then another part was, you know, rebalancing priorities. We saw companies do that too, which is, you know, having to prioritize what really matters at this point in time. And we will think about shifting and delaying some work. And so you saw projects get deferred or things like that.
But he adds 28% of companies didn't do anything to adapt.
Circle the key numbers. Can you show me a key number in here?
A key number?
Yeah, like any...
Over to Ann Arbor, Michigan now, where Beth Nazario has gone from instructing 30 kids in a classroom to teaching her two sons at home. Her youngest has special needs that require more support than virtual learning can provide. So over the summer, Beth and her husband Jose decided she would leave her job.
Any numbers here?
Oh, 206.
Okay, 206, right. And so I'm going to circle it, right?
I make much less as a teacher than my husband does in information technology and information security. And so it comes down to a matter of math.
Beth worked at an independent private school. For the first September in two decades, she didn't welcome a new group of students to her classroom. And while Beth says she's grateful to her employer for understanding her decision, she worries about returning to the workforce once the pandemic is over.
It makes me feel like everything I worked for the past 19 years is just gone. Like, I mean, you can't say you're retired because you're only 41, and you can't say, I mean, but I don't want to say that I quit because it wasn't really my choice. It was my choice, but it wasn't my choice. It was a choice that was forced upon me. And, you know, you can sit around and say that's not fair, but it's happening to so many people. There's got to be a collective that's not fair.
Beth is right. Her situation isn't unique. Even the response from the 1A audience on this subject has been overwhelming. Here's Mary in Florida.
Last year in 2019, I did take a $13,000 pay cut related to the hours required of my employer at the time, and of course, childcare issues. And then now because of the pandemic, I was not working for 5 months. And so I do worry about the salary disparity because now I've gone back and it's taken me years to get to where I was. And unfortunately, in a year's time, and actually in 5 or 6 months, I've just gone down $26,000.
According to an economist, the anxiety and pressure on working mothers isn't just crippling on a personal level. It could cost the American economy more than $300 billion over the course of a year. If our working moms aren't okay, the economy won't be either. Misty Hegenis is an economist at the U.S. Census Bureau who's been tracking the impact of COVID-19 on the labor market. She found the struggle for working parents is real, no matter how much money you make. But Misty is clear, those who make less have additional challenges.
The big difference here then becomes, like, how are you able to cope with this extreme crisis situation? And if you are a mom on the lower end of the earnings distribution, you have less options than moms at the upper end of the earnings distribution. And so, you know, I saw a ton of noise on social media about these, I call them DIY educational pods, the do-it-yourself educational pods. If you are at the lower end of the earnings distribution, or if you're a single parent, like, those options just aren't a reality for you. Like, it's just, that's not feasible. You don't have the resources to do that.
Matt Krentz of Boston Consulting Group warns that managers should step up, exercise empathy, and keep an eye on their employees' mental health.
I think we need to be ready to expect that that's going to be a really greater burden this fall as this continues.
And thinking broadly about what this will all mean for gender equality in the workplace, Misty Hegenis of the Census Bureau says it's hard to tell.
A lot of the inequalities in regards to gender, the gendered wage gap, et cetera, today are really due to things that we can pinpoint as inequalities within the household. So women taking maternity leave, you know, they take a hit, their earnings take it, and advancement in jobs take a hit. Women with multiple children, you know, it makes it even harder. And so then they have to spend more time away from work, and that reduces their potential for advancement. I think the thing that we need to really keep in mind here is it's unclear what's going to happen to gender inequality post-pandemic, and we need to be watching and keep an eye on it.
The mothers I spoke with all agree something at the federal level needs to change. Beth would like to see better childcare options for essential workers and more opportunities for children with IEPs to attend school in person. Lindsay Jones-Renault's household could benefit from that too. But Lindsay wishes that, like her husband, she and other entrepreneurs had better healthcare options.
I don't get health insurance. Our system is based on employee-provided health care, and it's just too risky. During a pandemic with two kids, especially now that we have these like behavioral and learning issues that we're having to do, these private evaluations that cost a lot of money, and we can get some of it reimbursed through insurance, like we just can't. It's just too risky to leave that on the table.
Just a few of many changes the two hope can one day be implemented, so women aren't typically the ones to put their needs on hold for the sake of the family. For 1A, I'm Sasha Ann Simons.
Thanks, Sasha. And we'll be using the rest of this hour to examine exactly why it is that women seem to be the ones most often making that choice between work and family. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A.